Ben Grant, and you're listening to CFRC in Cambridge.
And good afternoon. It is 4 o'clock, and thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up in the show today, both hours are going to be part of a long set, almost a complete 2 hours, essentially 2 hours, as it took place that evening. So from a June 6th reading and music event called Common Language, held at the Grains and Goods Coffee Bar, this is out on the West End, organized and emceed by Liz Huntley Yench. You'll hear readings by Susan Wismer, Leo Roberts, Jason Heru, and Jamal Saeed. You'll hear the beginning of a set of music performed by Mauricio Montesinos. And so then in the second hour, coming up, you're going to hear again, and I'm just doing this same people, but in a different order, you're going to hear from again that June 6th Common Language event, remainder of Mauricio's musical performance, and then readings by Leo Roberts, Susan Wismer, Jamal Saeed, and Jason Heru, and Liz Huntley-Yentz. My usual start of the hour announcement is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, and music played on this show may contain strong language, but it's all played played fully to preserve the and to honor the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. So let's go ahead and move into the first half of that two-hour event called Common in the event is called Common Language. It's a series that happens sporadically. This one was held on June 6th at the Grains and Goods Coffee Bar. Let's go ahead and just jump right into it.
I'm on. Can you hear me? Yep, back there. Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here. Are those two seats taken by anyone? There are two seats here. Please come up. We might even. They're right there.
And I think there's a chair.
Yeah, you know what? You can maybe get that chair in a corner. It's an awkward one, so I don't know. Sorry to make this part of my presentation. Observe me while I move a chair. I'm going to try and come right in behind you. This is the least elegant opening to an event that we have ever had. If somebody wants to try and get themselves into this corner over here, there is one more chair. And on that note, we'll begin. I'm Liz.
Maybe it's not on.
It's not on?
The mic's not on.
Are you sure?
No.
You want volume up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah.
Luckily, I'm Liz, and I have Roland here, who is both my husband and my problem solver for all things. And so we together are your hosts for tonight. We own Grains and Goods Coffee Bar and Bakery in Sydenham as well. And I am so delighted that all of you are here. Whenever we have these events on the go, I start to panic before we are waiting for people to arrive. I'm like, nobody's gonna come. And you came, so that's great. One person who didn't come, and I'm not really sure why, is the musician that we had planned for tonight. So we may not have music on the program, but luckily we have really excellent readers to entertain us for the evening, so maybe we won't even notice. Usually I blather on for quite a bit at the beginning of these things, but I think since we have such excellent readers that I'm really excited about, we will jump right in with our first reader of the night, Susan Wismer. Susan Wismer is a queer poet, a mother, grandmother, gardener, dancer, hiker. Her poetry explores identity, truth, and reckoning with the land that supports us all. Hag Dances was published by At Bay Press in 2025. I believe that is her first full-length collection. And her chapbook, Hand Shadows, documents a collaborative pandemic project, and it was published by Wintergreen Press in 2024. Recent poems have been published in The Queen's Quarterly, Prism International, and Filling Station. Susan lives on the south shore of Manidou, Gichigami, South Georgian Bay in Ontario. And I will also add that Susan is one of my dear people and an inspiration and mentor to me. And I am so pleased that she has joined us all the way from Collingwood to be here tonight. Yay!
Over my ears, like this.
Yes, that is the way.
And then this, you just,
I just stick in a pocket, clip onto your pant band.
Pull some pants to pull down.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, it's so delightful to be here with you all. And I'm still a little overwhelmed by Liz's introduction. But, I was a teacher for many years, and I also traveled overseas a lot for my work, and I had lots of opportunity in those years to meet people from different generations, different places, different times in life. And since I retired from teaching, that's my biggest thing that I miss, is people from other places, other times. One of the reasons I love poetry readings is because they bring together people of all ages, all genders, all inclinations, and from all places in the world. So thank you all for being here tonight. I'm just delighted to see all your many faces. The first set I'm gonna read to you from Hag Dances, which is my book that came out last spring about this time. And kind of obvious. It's about being an old lady on the planet at this time and how to cope. But it's really meant to be a meditation on life on the planet in these times and days, and on how we get through. So let me. There's lots in here about aging, of course. I'm going to start with a poem called Before. Summer wind through lavender's dusk leaves. Garden gate boards weathered gray. The house finch's long song soars from crabapple tree branches. Dark nimbus clouds scud swift off the lake before thunder and rain send us running to garden tools, laundry lines, windows, holding your hands cupped in mine, your knuckles blue-veined, small knobs of arthritis at the joints of two fingers, a breath, our clasped palms. I think one of the joys of getting old, for those of you who aren't there yet, is there's a kind of tenderness that happens when you know that your time on the planet is really becoming quite limited. And being able to hold someone's hand is kind of about as good as it gets. Aurora Borealis, celestial, falling through stellar obsidian skies, we were arms flung, faces raised, mouths filled with wind, whirling high over trees. Shape-shifted creatures of night-fired light, raven black wings, silver manes, sharp shining hooves. Returned, we were almost too late to remember. We are humans, descendants from stars. There's a lot in our culture. We have a pretty ageist culture about all the bad things about growing old. And one of these things this book tries to do is reclaim some of the good things. Hourglass. Sand drifts through the narrowed waste of my dreaming. Mirrored, our bodies unfurl, blurred, blended, softened. Time is steadfast, falling. A long coil of red ribbon unspools reflection, glass walls, what might have been. Fine grain, passing, beloved, the dusting of years. And in a slightly different spirit, here's one about my heritage. Spirits. My ancestors are made of madness. Cape Breton Strathspeys, evictions, Highland clearances, secrets, resentment, red hair. My ancestors appear in bagpipes, old rubber boots, dance on worn kitchen floors, language lilts shadows, ghost Gaelic traces lift off my flat English tongue. Dairy cows, sea air, two pigs, burnt houses, black-faced sheep, croft homes, abandoned, all left behind. What they could take when they left to pass down, my stubborn Scottish pride. I'll save that for a minute or two. One of the things I try to do in my poetry is to find, I don't know the right word, like the sacred in the ordinary. And when I say sacred, I don't mean anything religious. I just mean that thing that makes you want to hold on to life as hard as you can. And in this book, there is a series of 7 sonnets written for the kitchen, for things that I work with every day in the kitchen. So I'm going to read you a couple. Brown Betty Teapot. In joyful obligation to her task, Teapot waits to hear the keening cry of kettles, whistled steam, her slow refract. She fears none of water's heat or scalding boils, nor kettles' ghostly moans and roiling spills. Her mission is creation. Brew and steep, tease high-grown leaves from terraced hills. Misted, musky, warm, she holds the scent of sun and rain from far-off storied places. Oolong, Lapsang Suchong, Yunnan, Assam. Teapot is simple strength of stoneware. Grace for a perfect cup. Her round-bellied warmth presides at home with comfort, quiet, calm, while life arrives, holds us, pours out, goes on. And there's 7 of them. I won't do them all, don't worry. But I'm gonna do one more, I think. Sauce Pad. I think I'll tell you now that this one is particularly poignant for me just now. I am a queer woman. I have 2 partners. One of my partners died very recently, just in April. And this saucepan is all about absence. Saucepan. Life arrives, holds us, turns, leaves, goes on. Like saucepan, disappearing after years of daily use. Copper mottled bottom green, handle loose from all the heft and heat of favorite foods. Morning's fragrant oatmeal, lunchtime soups, yesterday's beef stew reheated. The cupboard space looms vacant, but lonely lid still lingers. Longing has us haunted. Saucepans lost weighs heavier each day in our empty hands. Bamboo spoon, bereft of close companion, wonders, waits, calls out, "Where did you go, saucepan, old pot?" "Strange," replies spoon, "how absence comes to stay, holds space, palpable, present, unnamed." Don't know. Don't know why I leave my shoes at your door. Don't know how to stop, though you tell me, don't bother. It's my mother's voice, louder than any ghostly embrace, stronger than all present moments. The truth is, the house I was raised in was always a mess. But she taught me to love my own unshod foot, bare on wood floors. Don't know why that stays with me when so much is gone. Today, the pink poppies are paddywhack bobbleheads, heaving in wind and rains while waving their silver-furred stalks, thin-fringed pink petals hold on. It must be hard, but they keep their heads on. They keep themselves together. I just can't help wishing my own soft body was that strong. Don't know how to begin to stop seeing all that's gone wrong so far today. If I turn off my cell phone, you can't call me. And I want you to know that I'm here. Special shirt for him. I'm with the band Books, and because he works in the public library. He also has been writing for 10 years, performing poetry for the past three. He's performed at Quirks, which if you haven't been there, go, it's really fun. And at Art Fest in 2025. He'll be at Art Fest again this year. And Bruce is here. So thank you, Bruce. For that. His poems are often about the moon, suburbia, and dirt. When he's not scrambling to find a Google Doc while already on stage, he works for the public library, the post office, volunteers for the Great Lakes Museum, and would like to go to bed. Leo.
I'll take your glasses.
It'll help project my voice. Am I this far from the mic?
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I've been listening to boy band music all day in anticipation of this pop star microphone. Not that I want to embody the spirit of Justin Timberlake, but, you know, his clones. Okay. So, Liz Huntley always does very beautiful poems about motherhood, and while I haven't given birth yet, I thought that I would, as a son of a mother, bring my poetries about moms. So this first one is called Petals for Vomit. I spew petals for vomit. It's prized perennial eject matter scattered at weddings and funerals. For my mother on the Mother's Day, I sprayed a bouquet of nightshades, and it was not okay. Okay. I do love my mother a lot, so this next one is about her gross kale smoothies. 2016. Mom made a kale smoothie today. Banana, soy, chia seed, ginger. I choke on the lugubrious ooze. It goes down, but it feels like the wrong way. Feel for the growing teenage mind, she said. And this teenage mind swats thoughts of vomit and contemplates the nature of love. 2026. I pick out organic kale at a grocery store and wonder at the yuppies and yoga instructors, namaste, that have stood here before me. I throw it in a pan, spill in some ground beef, toss together some kind of dinner to repair this tired adult mind. And I struggle to eat a vegetable every day. I remember my mother's love. This next one is called Every Great Wish. If there's a takeaway from today, it's that I can't go to a grocery store without feeling complicated. They say that you can never truly come home again, but I had a free weekend, and only so many more chances to try. I grew up within warm yellow walls. If they could talk, they may say, "My, how you've grown." I arrived to them painted a pleasant pastel blue that says nothing at all. I follow Mom around the grocery store, traverse the well-trodden trail, same milk, same eggs. With this oft-repeated pilgrimage, I am in tune with every me I have ever been. For an hour, I believe that nothing ever changes. Same sack of rice, the staple every meal. Mom can no longer lift it. Sunset's far gone on my last day. We watch Filipino tourism videos in the dark. My parents are perplexed by the concrete complex built atop what was once Bulacan. I sink in the darkness, soak in their company, wish for time to slow, if it can never truly stop. Then my father says, I want to go back before I die. Like every great wish, mine was unspoken, impossible. They've crossed some threshold from morbid to practical, would rather not take me with them. At the train station, my mother says that I will always have a home to come back to. Perhaps she too has a great wish. While I can never truly come home again, I have left many times. And I know my parents wish that they could go home too. So that's enough about moms. Next time I'll talk about daddies now. I can't think of a better father figure than our erstwhile Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. If you go on YouTube.com later today and look up Justin Trudeau falling down the stairs, you're going to find a CBC interview in French where he falls down the stairs as a party trick. So, yeah, it's real, guys, it's real. I cascade down the stairs. My shoulder blades graze steps, a practice harmless tumble, to sell the show, give a thump, a whoa. One must imagine Sisyphus happy, but I am become the boulder. Rolling from the din, I breathe a reprieve, free from the incessant chatter, the performance of friendship, the bottom, the prestige. I break a leg without a broken leg. I have won the social encounter. It's been like 5 minutes. I can't see Liz, who's nodding, possibly. Is she nodding? Okay.
Is there a question?
Nah, we're good. Okay. We're gonna move on to suburbia now, one of the many things one of three things I write about. This is a small one called Little Babylon. I look up at a light-polluted suburb and get crushed by the empty sky. Is it a sin to obscure the heavens? We have scattered across the earth and wonder why we're alone. My last one for the set is about Kingston Transit, everyone's favorite thing. Tap the card to earn your place here, dropping coins as a dying heart. Pick a seat, any seat. Gauge the age of stains, old ones should be safe. Surrender yourself to the ride, hear the engine rumble, heave as the bus make wide arcs. Along the route, often away from your destination, though know you're one of many with somewhere to be. The ads overhead dwindle in number, waging war over people's boredom. Look at all the noses planted in phones to see who's winning. A teen spaces out in a priority seat, accusatory glances go his way. A mother rolls a stroller aboard. The youth yields his seat, lifts it up. Maybe the kids are all right. A wide-eyed baby wins the war for attention. His smile rises, shines. Pass by the university and students pack the bus. For 5 minutes, it's a sardine can on wheels. There are buzz about exam woes, last weekend's party bubbles. The bitter alumnus stews. The chatter hasn't changed since he was in school. He hasn't changed since he was in school. He's been aboard for longer, with several more stops to go. Pull the yellow port snap out of the reverie. There remains 10 more minutes of trudging through snow. You curse both your lack of a car and their very invention. Say it with me, if possible, exit through the back door. At some point, we stopped thinking the drivers.
Oh, yeah.
Our musician is okay. She couldn't come because it was raining. So that's all I got.
Music don't work in the rain.
Yeah. Jamal, you were right.
Okay. It's my pleasure to introduce Jamal Saeed. Did I say that right? Mm-hmm. Cool. All right. He's a Syrian-Canadian author, editor, and visual artist, and Arabic calligrapher and translator. He opened publishing and co-founded Friends of Art and Literature, an organization dedicated to supporting young Syrian creators. The members were threatened by Syrian intelligence, and the organization was forced to dissolve. Jamal spent 12 years in a Syrian prison as a prisoner of conscience before arriving in Canada with his family as a refugee in 2016. In 2020, he published Yara Spring, a children's novel co-authored with Sharon McKay. 2 years later, he released his memoir, My Road from Damascus, which was shortlisted for the Writers' Trust Award for nonfiction. In the fall of 2025, he published 2 more books, Princess and I, and Other Stories, a collection of short fiction, and My Sister, the Apple Tree, a picture book co-authored with Jordan Scott.
Good evening, everybody. I start with reading some paragraphs from my memoirs, My Road from Damascus. They are from chapter 1 and the last chapter. From chapter 1, I was holding my grandfather's hand in the backyard, watching my grandmother as she helped our cow give birth in the open air. The cow was alone, in pain, and I felt really sorry for her. Siti, my grandmother, slipped a silver ornament in the shape of a star on the cow's horn and prayed to Allah to help her. After the cow had given a birth to a lovely little calf, I asked my Siti about the strange object she had hung on the horn. "It's Hamail," she replied. "It makes giving birth easier." I looked closely at the star-shaped silver charm and asked about the engraving on it. Jeddi, my grandfather, explained there were words and symbols. "Jeddi, what do the words say?" I asked, looking up at him. "They are the words of Allah," he said. "Did Allah himself write these words?" "No. He sent them in a message delivered by an angel, and people wrote down the angel words. Can I speak to Allah? I asked. Jaddi laughed. Only the Prophet Musa can speak directly to Allah. Where does Musa live? Can I visit him? Why do you want to visit him? Jaddi asked. I want to ask if I can go with him when he speaks to Allah. I'd like to hear Allah's voice. Musa lived a very long time ago, and anyway, he wouldn't take young boys to visit the Almighty. Jaddi laughed again. I felt that father is better. My father is better. He took me whenever I want. Your mother had a difficult labor when she was giving birth to you, Siti told me. And so the midwife asked where the village Hamayli was. The neighbor's goat was giving birth for the first time, just like your mother. So your aunt rushed next door and snatched the Hamayli from where it still hung on the nanny's goat's horn. The word of Allah helped your mother when you came into the world, she added. Another paragraph. My father understood freedom in his own way. Be your own boss so you don't have to take orders from other people. This was why he chose not to work in the asphalt company that was one of the main employers of our village. Founded by the French in 1927. My father had another theory, which was that farming was the most honorable career because it provided food for everyone. People can live without plastic, but they can't live without food. He repeated it many times. He loved farming. I thought of him on the plane to Canada when the flight attendant gave us a form to fill in. I looked at the flag at the top of the form and my eyes rested on the maple leaf, which I knew was the Canadian national symbol. I thought of all the different symbols that nations, companies, and individuals choose to represent them and decide that if I were asked, I would choose the apple. Not because of the biblical story of Adam and Eve, but because of memories of my own life from many years before, and one memory in particular. My father was a pioneer farmer in our village, Ferye, in Syria. He was the first farmer in the area to plant golden delicious and red delicious apple trees. When I was about 4 years old, I stood watching him as he dug a series of holes and began to plant seedlings on them. Plant me, Dad, I said. Why? He asked. Stepping in one of the holes, I explained, I want to be an apple tree. And Mom will gather apples from my hair. My father laughed, but then you couldn't move. Change me into movable apple tree, that's it. I felt like an old apple tree sitting on a plane, moving out of my place. When the flight attendant offered us a drink, I asked for apple juice. Now to the last chapter of the same book. Some paragraphs of it. On the plane to Toronto and road to Kingston, I remember how I used to follow the planes passing over our village until they disappeared from sight. When my father said that people travel in these planes, I thought he was joking. How can a machine the size of Goose carry people? I laughed. My father explained that airplanes are large, but because they are so far away, they look small to us. Where do planes go? I asked. To other places. To other places in the world. I raised my finger and drew a circle in the air, pointing to the mountain tops all around us that appeared to be joined to the sky. Then this world. Behind these mountains are faraway countries, different countries. Some, the world is divided into our country and different countries. I didn't know the meaning of the word different. Different countries are the countries planes go to, I said to my brother Kamal, but he wasn't interested. I was 7 years old when I announced to my mother, I'm going to faraway countries, to the different ones. How will you get there? She asked. I will ask a plane to let down a rope for me. But planes don't let down ropes. So, how do people fly? Planes land on the ground and people get in and out of them. I'll ask the plane to land in front of our house, I said. But why do you want to go away? You haven't told me yet. Grown-ups hit children here, I said. And my lips quivered. My mother stopped wrapping vine leaves round rice and looked at my face with concern. What's happened? She asked. My uncle asked me to bring him a box of matches to light his cigarette when he was playing cards, I answered, the tears rolling down my cheeks. My voice began to shake. He hit me because I forgot. My uncle is strong. I couldn't defend myself. trying to hide her own tears, my mother advised me to remember when I was asked to do something, but to run to her when strong people threatened me. But they might hit you too. My mother took me in her arms. Stop crying, she said, and don't be afraid. You stop crying, you first. Now, 50 years later, I'm going to Canada. Fleeing from the guns that destroy everything in their paths. These days, Baba, the world is divided into our country, where bombs destroy the houses and burn the trees and the rest of the world. Thank you. Now, ask Rufaida, my wife, to read something in behalf of me and introduce the very famous Kingstonian poet.
When it comes to that part, we always become emotional and we cry. And every time I say I'm not going to cry, I cry. Okay, so I'm thrilled to introduce.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Do I need a mic? Okay, it's a short introduction. I need a mic. So I'm thrilled to introduce Jason Hero, who lives in Kingston, Ontario. Works at Service Ontario and lives with his wife, Suhair, and their two cats, Pablo and Miroga. That's their cats' names. He is an author of 5 books of poetry, Memoirs of an Allies, 2004, Emergency, Hallelujah, 2008, Natural Capital, 2012, Hard Work, Cheering Up Sad Machines, 2016, and Like a Trophy from the Sun, 2024, which was listed on the CBC list of 44 Canadian poetry collections to watch for fall 2024. His short story collection, Survivors of the Hive, 2023, was also listed among the best books of the year by the Miramichi Reader and 49th Shelf. Translated into French, Italian, and Arabic, his poetry has been featured in several anthologies, including Breathing Fire 2, Canada's new best Canadian poetry in English. The 10th anniversary edition. His poems have appeared in magazines and journals in Canada, the US, Belgium, France, and Italy. He was the poet laureate for the city of Kingston, Ontario from 2019 to 2022.
Lovely introduction, and thank you everyone for being here today. This is such a special evening. Really, really great to see everyone here. For the first set, I'm going to read some old poems from a book called Hard Work, Cheering Up Sad Machines, which appeared in 2016, 10 years ago. I was just a kid back then, didn't know anything. Now I'm proud to say I'm a grown adult, and I've learned a lot along the way. The big thing I've learned is that I still don't know anything. I'm going to read the first poem in the collection. It's called Yield. The word yield has a couple of different definitions. It means to give way to demands or pressure, but it also means to produce or provide. And in this poem, I try to reconcile the two definitions to reflect on how we can give way and grow at the same time. Yield. Our yield is now. This moment is what will eventually become of us. Our only harvest is the one we're gathering. Water is drawn by the one with the well. Whoever has lungs will breathe in and out. The one with the horse will ride into town. Everything is nothing but horns honking at death and numbers attacking numbers. Apricot jam stuck on a table knife. Everything is nothing but almonds divided by almonds and grass blades savoring or shadow champagne, a car without wheels crawling through mud. Whoever has the orange will peel the skin. Whoever has a thread will feed the needle. The one with enough footsteps will walk to the store. Our only harvest is the one we're gathering. This moment is what will eventually become of us. Our yield is now. This book has a few poetic sequences in it, like a series of small poems. I'll read you a short sequence called The Vending Machine of Earthly Delights. Every raindrop trembling on the tree branch is such a beautiful gray garbage bag of broken rain. After I finished my chores, I was given a leaf to spend in the woods, a breath to spend in the air, a hook to spend in the fish, a tank to spend in the war, a bird to spend in the cage, a shiver to spend in the wind. August, I still hear your sunlight singing in the quiet little church of my shadow. When was the last time you put something in your pocket to keep it from crying, but it kept crying? When was the last time October lasted for more than a year? When was the last time you fell on a raindrop and an egg cracked your shell? And when was the last time your dust swept you away? Some days, the cobwebs look sad and fragile as 100-year-old chicken bones waiting for the chickens to return. If you're living or dying, either way, you're a loose thread unraveling from yourself. And there's always more of you. And there's never enough of you. And there's always a little breath of you left behind in some balloon. I'll read a couple of fragments from a sequence titled In Defense of the Attacked Center Pawn. There's no place to sit on this bus full of bones going to the cemetery. I should have taken the bus full of blossoms on their way to the trees. My cat brought me a dead mouse. I wondered where to bury it. That was 100 years ago. I'm dead now, still wondering where to bury that mouse. Everything was under the weather. A sick stone threw up in the grass. A handful of dirt dug a grave inside of itself. We woke up during the endless war and heard our frightened clothes packing themselves into other people's suitcases. After the end of the war, blind elderly raindrops wondered where they were. I found a strand of hair and brushed it before burying it underground. In the hospital of broken spirits, they wake you when it's time for your nap. Every 5 seconds, a nurse brings you a glass of air to help you breathe. We signed up for dying lessons. Our teacher was a fly caught in a web. The best student was an autumn leaf dangling from a branch. The death factory makes all kinds of death, a new model each year. You own an old death. It doesn't work properly. One day you'll get another. You know, this reading series is called Common Language, and this next piece kind of explores some of the challenges of trying to have a common language. I was in a foreign country and couldn't speak the language. I entered the currency exchange office and exchanged 3 mice for a shoelace, and then exchanged the shoelace for a paperclip, and the paperclip for an autumn leaf, and the autumn leaf for nothing. I left the office and realized I was back in my hometown. I visited my mother and father. The 3 of us sat quietly at the kitchen table. An awkward silence filled the room. I still couldn't speak the language. Another poem in this book, a longer poem, is also about language. I'll just read the first few pages of it. It's called Black Trampoline. In our language, we call language language. We call a car in the garage a car in the garage. We call the New York Stock Exchange on Wall Street the New York Stock Exchange on Wall Street. We invade the invaded in our language. We attack the attacked. We say things in our language we don't understand. We call you, you. We call our light switch our light switch. What do you call your language in your language? Do you call yourself yourself? Do you call your light switch? I fell asleep on the couch, dreaming of your lemon trees. Do people dream of my lemon trees where you live? We have shadows in our language that need your help being shadows. We feel joys in our language that need your help to be felt. Do you need our help in your language? I'll just read a couple more. This one is called Be Brave If You Want. Be brave if you want to be brave, but you don't have to. Be a cricket in the wild grass if you want to be a cricket in the wild grass, but you don't have to. You don't have to be a big garbage bag teaching a little garbage bag to sit calmly on the curb. You don't have to be a quiet fire, keeping a loud fire warm. You don't have to, but you can be a brave cricket in the wild grass if you want to. I'll just end this set reading the title poem. It's called Hard Work Cheering Up Sad Machines. It's easy to breathe if you're breathing. Breathe all you want. The air is too old and weak to run away. Your life is a gift with your name on it, a word there's no word for. Breathe all you want. It's easy to breathe if you're breathing. The air is an all-you-can-breathe buffet. It's hard work cheering up sad machines. Hard work cleaning a numbers cage. Our heartbeats are staggered staples holding us together. Birds sing like kettles boiling song water. Your life is a gift with your name on it. And your life is a word there's no word for. Breathe all you want. Breathe all you want. Thank you, everyone. Of breathing, we're going to have a little intermission now. We can take some time and get some refreshments and wander around a bit, and we'll be joining in for the second set shortly. So thank you.
And you just heard from a June 6th reading and music event called Common Language, held at the Grains and Goods Coffee Bar, which is organized and emceed by Liz Huntley Yentz. Readings by Susan Wismer, Leo Roberts, Jamal Saeed, and Jason Haru. It is about almost 52 minutes after 5 o'clock. First of all, I'd like to say thank you to all of you out there for tuning in to the first segment of this show today. Hope you can stay tuned to the second hour and the few minutes remaining in this, of course, for the second half of that event held in June. And you are and have been listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC. Just a reminder that I do upload both hours of this show to my personal blog space for it. And those do remain there 3 years at Finding a Voice on CFRCFM.wordpress.com. Tell you what, let's sneak these in here real quick this hour, and then I'll be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Every day you hear something new on CFRC. Can you keep up? You need a weekly recap. Catch up with What's Climbing Friday mornings at 10. The charts on CFRC.
When it comes to Kingston real estate, local experience matters. Kim Purcell is an award-winning realtor born and raised in Kingston with over a decade of experience and 100 five-star reviews. If you want honest advice and results you can trust, choose Kim. Visit kimpurcell.ca today for more information.
And now as we begin to move into the second portion of this show, today it is 54 minutes after 5 o'clock. And again, you are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. And we do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. Coming up in the second half of the event, begun in the first hour, It was held on June 6th, and reading and music event called Common Language that was held at the Grains and Goods Coffee Bar. That event is organized and emceed by Liz Huntley Yench, and you'll hear first in this second portion a musical performance by Mauricio Montesinos, and then readings by Leo Roberts, Susan Wismer, Jason Haru, and Jamal Saheed, and then a final reading by Liz Huntley Yench. My usual start of the hour announcement is that occasionally some poetry, spoken word, or music played on this show may contain strong language, but all is played in its entirety to honor the creative integrity of both the honor of the author and the piece. So here again from that June 6th Common Language event, you'll hear the remainder first of Mauricio's musical performance. You'll hear his musical performance, but the little portion will show up in this hour. The rest will move into the next hour. And then readings by Leo Roberts, Susan Wismer, Jason Haru, Jamal Saeed, and Liz Huntley Yench, I should say. Let's go ahead and just, since I can't talk apparently, let's just go ahead and do this. Here we go.
7 years old. I was performing at 8. And I have produced a number of albums. Some music I produced in Chile, I couldn't release it because of what was going on in South America at the time. Like our friend, I basically grew up in a dictatorship, surrounded by a lot of uncertainty, violence, political uncertainty, freedom uncertainty. Some of those songs I could not sing them there due to the risk of performing poetry. Social democratic poetry, pro-democratic means for the right to live in freedom, for the right to express ourselves. Therefore, music and poetry has been around for many years. I admire you all. I'm a songwriter, so I also write poetry, but I also compose music for my poetry. And mainly in Spanish, I do have some stuff in English. And I'm so happy, very good friend of mine invited me to come to this beautiful poetry night. I happen to have a guitar there, and I mentioned some of you saying that we don't have music. I'm going to play you an original piece that has no words yet. It's a composition for orchestra and guitar. The composition, the arrangements are in progress. Most of the guitar sections are all ready. It's called Reflections of My Soul. When this piece came up in my mind, I had no idea where it came from. It just came so naturally out of my soul and brain and hands. The first section, over the years, I figured out what was coming out. And this piece is basically in my mind. I was processing over many years what had happened to South America and the American continent due to colonization. And as the next sections have come up over the years, it also expresses section one, how was South America before it was discovered, the whole American continent, before colonization happened. So this first section expresses the land of America still, let's call it virgin, very calm. There was no stresses, political stresses. There was no genocide. The land was quiet. The people, men, women, and children, were living among the land with the water, with nature, without the stresses that colonization brought over the years. The second section expresses how our ancestors might have felt when colonization started to happen. And over the years, societies, we do go through turmoils, and we don't go back to peace and calming process of mediating freedom. the right to express yourself, the right to live in the land, to share the land, to share the air, the water, without so much stress. So this piece is that, how were we before colonization happened? What happened through colonization? There was more stress. The piece, the second section, is to show the stress through music. And then it goes back to calm as our life is. Our life goes through process of tranquility and turmoil, conflict and peace, That's life. So this piece is called Reflection, upon myself. Enjoy. It is on all media